Shalom. Do you have one of these, or maybe multiple of them? A ceramic mug. Ceramics actually have been around for a long time, and you think about just how common they are. Not just mugs, plates, whatever. But people have been making these sort of things for thousands and thousands of years. You go to the ancient world, and I've been around Israel in the Middle East, and you find pieces of what the ancient people made. And while they might look different, they're based on the same basic technology. Think about a handle, kind of like my mug. Well, this would have been from a much larger storage jar. So this is something that, you know, the basic technology has stayed the same. Yeah, there are certainly differences, variations along the way, and techniques have changed. I mean, we make stuff by machine now rather than by hand. But same basic ideas prevail. So why do I bring this up? What's so important about pottery? What I want to do is open the Bible today and look at this prophet named Jeremiah, and the Lord instructs him to go to the house of the potter. And so we've got some lessons to learn from the potter. So if you have a Bible, I encourage you to open it with me to Jeremiah chapter 18. Whether you've got it in print or on your phone or whatever the case may be, I encourage you to follow along if you can, and also then it gives you the opportunity to see what I have not read as well, and to refer back as I'm talking. So Jeremiah chapter 18. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house and saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping in the clay, from the clay, was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. So he goes to the potter's house and he sees him forming a pot on the potter's wheel. A potter's wheel, imagine a wheel, couple stones, and oftentimes you're going to have it such that he's moving the bottom stone with his feet to get it spinning, and then he's got the glob of clay on top spinning around, and then he starts sticking his finger in and moving around, and that's how you get these wonderful circular shapes that he's moving around, shaping it, moving his fingers. And a master potter can get very intricate shapes. And this still happens down to today. The potter's wheels themselves, we have electric ones. But even so, we've still got ones with them doing it with their feet, and people still do this today. Some things don't change very much. But he sees that the pot is marred in his hand. So something isn't going right with the clay. And so he says, no, I need to do something different here. And he sticks his fingers and mashes it back down or whatever and shapes it again, maybe into a completely different shape. And so now the Lord gives Jeremiah his message. What is this image about? What's going on here? Verse 5. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. God says, I am like a potter, a master potter, and I form and shape you. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom will be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. So just like that master potter's, like, this clay is not working with my hands. It's not going the way it's supposed to. God also says, you know what? This nation is not going the way it's supposed to. whether, you know, he's going to work with that nation. If their way is off, if they're not being obedient to him, he's going to come in and do something about it. If they're following him, he's going to do something to encourage them, to build them up. But if they change, then he will change and adapt as necessary. Verse 11. Now therefore say to the people of Judah and to those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. Now this is, I've been doing a study this year on the book of Jeremiah, and this is why I chose this topic for this sermon. I've been spending a bunch of time reading through different translations in English, as well as looking back at the original Hebrew, using tools to help me along. And I noticed that one thing you realize as you get into Hebrew is it has words that are related to each other. Now, that's not that surprising, really. I mean, English has words related. So, like, in this chapter, we've got pot and potter. They sound similar. They're connected. There's a relationship there. Hebrew, much the same, has words that are connected. But even more, it's got a whole system for, you've got a root word, a verb, of which a lot of other words build up and out of. The word for potter earlier is yotzer. The word here for preparing is yatzar. So forming, shaping. The potter, it's interesting, verse 3 when he's, and verse 4 is when he's shaping. It's actually just a generic word meaning to do or to make. A word that's used a few thousand times in the Bible. Very common word. But this word that's connected to the word for potter, yatzar, to shape, to form. God is forming a disaster. You know what? You are like clay in my hands, and I'm going to be forming this disaster to form you. And he's warning them that, hey, you know, if you keep going this way, bad things are going to happen. And so what's their response? Verse 12. But they will reply, it's no use. We will continue with our own plans, and we'll all follow the stubbornness of our hearts. This is just the way we are. Deal with it. That's their response. God's saying, you're on a bad road. Just look at where this is going to take you. And they're like, nah, we're just going to keep continue down those. We've got plans and we're sticking to them. Continue with our own plans. And then the chapter goes on and God's warnings and different rebukes of them. But then he picks back up in the beginning of chapter 19 with the potter again. Chapter 19, verse 1. This is what the Lord says. Go and buy a clay jar from a potter. Take along some of the elders of the people and of the priests and go out to the valley of Ben-Hinnom near the entrance of the potsherd gate. There proclaim the words, I will tell you. Go buy a clay jar from a potter. And when I was studying this, something struck me, something strange. The word for jar here is a different word than the word for pot in chapter 18 at the beginning. Now, I've got NIV in front of me here. Pot and jar are two different words in English, but they're pretty similar. They're both fairly generic terms. But that's not what's actually happening in the Hebrew. The first word that's used in 18 could be translated also as like vessel. I mean, it's a fairly generic term, which is, okay, pot works well with that. But the word for jar in chapter 19 seems to be a much more specific word. It's the Hebrew word bakbuk. I think that's kind of a fun word. Say bakbuk. Bakbuk is, well, in modern Hebrew, it's actually is translation of the word bottle. like a bottle of water. Now, people in Jeremiah's time didn't have plastic bottles, nor even glass bottles. So don't think that Jeremiah would know what this specific thing is. So don't get too attached to a bottle of this shape. But the point being, something that has a narrow opening on it. Something for pouring. Because the root word for it means, root word bakak means to empty out. So this isn't a storage jar. It's something that's meant for pouring. That you've got a narrow end on it that you're going to pour out. So why in the world is that important? Couldn't he just have some generic jar of anything for this? In verse 10, God instructs him to break the jar as a symbol for the people, that, you know, he's gathered them together, and how God's saying, you know, break it because I'm going to smash this nation. And he's talking about the judgment he's bringing on the nation. Couldn't you just use some big jar and smash it? Wouldn't that be, you know, more dramatic than having like a bottle, you know, probably something bigger than this, but a bottle that you then break? Why something like this? And that puzzled me, because why not just use a generic word? And then I got to verse 7. It says, in this place, I, referring to the Lord, I will ruin the plans of Judah and Jerusalem. And the word ruin there is the word bakak, the verb of bakbuk. I will ruin is a good translation, but I will empty the plans of Judah and Jerusalem. Their plans are going to be poured out and emptied. Have you ever had things not go according to plan? All these grandiose ideas, they're wonderful, and then they just went empty. What is the sound of water being poured out of a bottle too quickly? What does that sound like? It sounds like bakbuk, 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 bakbuk. It's onomatopoeia. It's the sound. The word is the sound that it makes. Bakbuk, 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 bakbuk. That is the sound of your plans for 2020. Bakbuk, 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 bakbuk. Being poured out and emptied. What happens when God has different plans for our lives and we just feel empty? You know, God is a good potter. He's a master potter, but he's also a good potter, forming and shaping us into the people he wants us to be, individuals and as a community and as a nation, as a world. And so, as I looked around and searched for how is yatsar used, this forming, this shaping, the first time it's used actually is in Genesis 2, where God forms a man from the dust of the ground. God forms people. It's a common motif actually throughout the Bible. In Jeremiah 1, Jeremiah says, you know, God is calling him and saying, you know, you come and be my prophet and I will speak through you. And Jeremiah's like, I'm just a youth. What do I know? What do I know about being a prophet? I mean, come on, you got to pick somebody else. And God says, no, before you were born, while you were still in the womb, I formed you. I formed you. I think that's what God, as a potter, continues to do. Not just when we're little, but as we grow up, as we grow old, if we let him, God will continue to form us. If you let him. So you can respond saying, Lord, shape me like a good potter. You know what? If my plans are not your plans, empty my plans out and fill them with your plans. Direct me in the way I should go. Form me and make me into that pot that I'm supposed to be, that you designed me to be. And you know what? That is a dangerous prayer. Because that's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be uncomfortable. It could be painful at times. But if he's a good potter, doesn't he know best? Because the alternative is what the people said. It's no use. We're going to continue in our own plans. We're going to follow the stubbornness of our hearts. I'm going to do my own thing. And you can do that. But God's saying, you know what? The road you're leading is to disaster. Things are not going to go well for you if you do that. When Jesus came, he didn't simply come to forgive us. And although that was a huge part of it, bless God for the forgiveness he offers as a free gift. But he came to call disciples, not just to teach them to know the right theology, to know the right things, although that was certainly an important part of it, but to do the right things, to follow him, to imitate him, to become like him, to be formed by their heavenly Father into the people he wanted them to be. God loves us too much to leave us unformed. Do you believe you are formable, malleable, to be made into an amazing creation? That there's always room for improvement. May the Lord empty you out and fill you with his goodness, with his good plans. And may he shape you and form you into the people he wants you to be. Shalom.